Not going.
Next case, please.
Our next case is case number 12294. Clean Bay Renewables LLC seeks a variance from the maximum height requirement for a proposed structure. Sections 115.25 and 115.179 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the southwest corner of DuPont Boulevard, that's Route 113, and Brazier Road. The 911 address is not available. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and the tax parcel ID is District 133, Map 6, Parcel 123.00, and it's a portion of that parcel. Specifically, the applicant is requesting a 33-foot variance from the required 42-foot maximum height permitted in the AR1 zoning district for a proposed structure. Staff would note that we received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail returns. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sure. My name is Demetrius Kaworth. My business address is 9925 Stephen Decatur Highway, Suite 5, Ocean City, Maryland, and I am the attorney for the applicant.
My name is Christy Shaw. I represent Clean Bay Renewables. Our address is 726 2nd Street, Suite 3B in Annapolis, Maryland.
I'm going to swear you in, and then I presume she'll be affirming any statement.
Yes, sir.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Nice to be with you today. Again, my name is Demetrius Kaworth. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, who is Clean Bay Renewables, seeking a variance from the height restrictions set forth in the AR1 district. As preliminarily, I have a series of exhibits I'd like to hand out to the board members, if I may. And just to orient the members of the board, we had submitted our application along with a narrative and I believe three exhibits A through C. I am going ahead and resubmitting those exhibits. Exhibit A in your packet was a conditional approval through ordinance number 2589 that authorized the use of this site as a electrical generation and resource reclamation type area, the purpose of which was to essentially, this business is taking chicken litter and causing it to be made into natural gas and phosphorus products that are shipped out west to the farmers out there in that area who need supplementation of their soils, and the rest of it is an augment for the soils here locally on the Eastern Shore. It's really cutting-edge technology, and Krista here will have a little more information about the science behind it. But anyway, we got a approval for that conditional use through that ordinance. Exhibit B is just a general site plan showing what we intend to place on this property and the various structures associated with the use that has been approved by ordinance. Exhibit C in your packet was the initial layout for the proposed building for which we were seeking a variance. You will note that height was going to be requested to be 75 feet in Exhibit C. I'll address this later, but we have decided to not go 75 feet for that entire structure, recognizing that one of the elements here we need to meet is minimum amount, and I'll explain that to you later, how much we're actually needing with photographs. Exhibit D would be an aerial of the proposed building in red, obviously what we're building, and there's two there. There's a second page of that exhibit which shows how we are minimizing the height impact on that site and on that building. Exhibit E are a couple of street views that show the general location. One is, the first one would be looking south on 113, and the second one looking north on 113. Exhibit F is just a general layout, similar to what the board members have on the board of the adjacent areas and the uses adjacent there too. Exhibit G is a photograph of the actual structure that we are asking for the height variance. It's why we need to go up 75 feet primarily, and then Michelle will have a lot more information about that and can give you a little more information about the science behind it and that tank and why the applicant needs that tank. And Exhibit H is just a general sort of animation that shows the process and how we end up taking the chicken litter, you know, after we've extracted the gas out of it, going ahead and treating it and making essentially a phosphorus product that's called the crystal green and some other byproducts that can be used for farming here locally on the Eastern Shore. So what we're asking for, obviously, is a height variance from sections of 115-25 and 115-179 of the Sussex County Code. As the members know, the property is located in the AR1 district. The height limitation in that district is 42 feet. We are seeking a variance to construct a building on the site, a portion of which will be 75 feet tall. The applicant initially proposed a building with a uniform ridge of 75 feet. As the design systems and components have evolved and matured, we have confirmed that most of the building can be reduced to comply with the applicable zoning requirement of 42 feet. Therefore, we're amending our application to only seek a variance for a 40-foot long portion of the building at 75 feet. And the building, its entire length is 178 feet. So we've reduced a number of that to comply with the minimum required standards. Notably, the west side of the building is proposed to be taller. That's the side that's closer to the large industrial equipment that comprises the borrow pit and the asphalt plant to the west, and is more distant from 113, which we hope is going to make a less of a visual impact. As Ms. Shaw will explain, the purpose of constructing the 75-foot portion of the building is to house what's called the nutrient recovery tank. That's what's shown in exhibits G and H. That is what actually takes the sort of sludge structure, the sludge material that comes from the holding tanks and converts it into a phosphorus product. And again, the nutrient product that can be spread here locally, the phosphorus product can be shipped to the farmers who need that in the Midwest. The tank itself, she'll testify or confirm, is 52.5 feet in height. The additional 22.5 feet is needed for the purpose of housing a superstructure that supports the tank. We also need a crane on top of that tank to be able to move things around. And we also obviously need room for the roof supports that will support the roof. So that's why we're asking for the 75 feet for only a portion of the building to house that nutrient recovery tank. We're hoping that the purpose of that is, and the purpose of why we want to enclose that is just simply for purpose of aesthetics. We want to make sure it's inside. We think it will look better, it will look nicer. And within the structure, we believe will enhance the aesthetics off of 113. As you know from the photograph, there are some minor commercial and residential development to the north of the site. And most of the other property, either to the east or to the south, is either commercial or agricultural in nature.
49 construction to the south?
Pardon me?
49 construction to the south?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Melvin Joseph's business.
Yep. And I believe to the west is the borough pit there. So it's sort of already sort of an industrial type area.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we're certainly consistent with that. As we know, there are the standards we need to meet. The first one is to show some kind of uniqueness associated with the property. And we believe that the property is in a unique location. It's adjacent to 113, and it's adjacent to a mining and asphalt plant, all of which generate a heavy amount of traffic, truck traffic already in a usual day. It is also located in close proximity to some residential development to the north, and in order for us again to visualize, to minimize the visual impact to travelers along Route 13 and to adjacent residents, we'd like to enclose that portion of the structure that will house the tank, and that's why the purpose of the variance. As illustrated by the perspective drawings, which are exhibits, I think, E to this, you will see it has a minimal impact looking south off of 113.
That's provided that you grow that buffer.
Correct. And we're required to do that under the conditional use approval, so that will come in at some point in time.
Which would take how many years to grow the buffer?
Pardon me?
How many years to grow the buffer?
Well, I wish I were an agronomist, but I'd probably say, I mean, just logically speaking, it's probably a 5 to 10 year process, I think, ultimately, to grow up that high and to be able to screen it, as we've shown in the photograph, certainly. But that's the buffer that we're required by the conditional use to do. And again, the second is a view facing from the north side. And as you see, the tanks that don't require variance already there, will already be there, and will probably be the predominant structure along 113. And so for that reason, we think that the property meets the first standard for the granting of a variance, its uniqueness, its location between the two, the 113 and the borrow pit lends itself to this type of variance. The second issue is because of physical circumstances or condition, there is no possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the zoning ordinance. Again, the property can't be developed with a screen or enclosed nutrient recovery tank without a variance for the 75-foot high portion of the building that will house those structures. And we are anticipating putting two of those structures within that portion of the building at several million dollars worth of costs to the developer for the purpose of the phosphorus extraction. And so without that height, we just couldn't do that type of structure to be screened from view from the adjacent residents on 113.
So two tanks inside the structure?
Correct. That's what we're proposing right now. We don't believe this is going to alter the essential character of the neighborhood, which is unnecessary hardship is the third standard. I don't think we have created the hardship. Again, the required nutrient recovery tank, as Michelle will explain, is standard 52 foot high. In order to process the amount of chicken litter that we anticipate processing at some point in time, we're going to need those big phosphorus nutrient recovery tanks for that purpose. And so, again, that's not it's the technology that's existing, and it's the technology we need in order to be able to recycle that product and get it out and reuse it. The fourth element is that it will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. As I've indicated, essentially agricultural and commercial character of the neighborhood will not change as a consequence of this added height. It will not impair or any of the use or development of the adjacent properties, and it will not be detrimental to the public welfare. In fact, we think it will enhance it because, again, we're covering up these tanks, we're enclosing them, and getting them out for view and screening them for the public along the highway. Finally, the last one is the minimum variance that will afford the relief and will represent the least modification if possible. Again, our initial proposal, as you've seen, was for the 75 feet to be across the entire building, and we've minimized that as shown in Exhibit D, the second page of that, to only do a portion of the building that will actually house the tank structure. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Shaw, who knows more of the science behind all of this and can attest to the reclamation chamber and everything else and its height, as well as address some of the aesthetic issues. Before I do that, Michelle, you heard my presentation here this evening?
Yes, I have.
And is everything I have said true and accurate to the
yes,
best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
Yes, it is.
All right, Michelle, I'll turn it over to you.
All right.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm the Director of Environmental and Regulatory Affairs with Clean Bay Renewables, so this falls into my wheelhouse. So just to give a little background on why we need a structure like this. So we use a technology that is produced by a company called Ostera. It is a nutrient recovery technology that recovers the phosphorus out of water after the manure goes through our anaerobic digestion process. The manure is, at that point, it's called digestate. It's dewatered, and then the water goes through this process, and we pull out phosphorus and nitrogen into a product called Struvite, which is a slow-release phosphorus product that will be shipped out to the Midwest. So it will be removing the phosphorus from the area. In order to go through that process. This is a fluidized bed reactor that you have to have that amount of headspace in order to be able to let the struvite form and then fall out into the bottom of the reactor, and then the top water, after it's been treated, moves out through the top. So you have to have that amount of headspace in order for the reaction to happen. It's a precipitate reaction, just like a lot of us did in chemistry in high school. So when you get the white powder, that's when you know you've done the right thing. So the structure is one that is, it's a proprietary structure that we don't have any control over how tall it is, how it works, but it is one that is becoming fairly popular. I think one of the exhibits that you have, Exhibit H, is actually looking at it in Chicago. The Chicago wastewater treatment plant uses this technology in order to pull struvite out of its wastewater so it doesn't clog pipes. Let's see.
Ma'am, is that the same thing Purdue's got?
I was going to ask the same question. Are you familiar with that on Old 13?
I'm very familiar with AgriCycle. It is not at all like AgriCycle.
But you're pulling product out of otherwise waste.
Yes. Yeah. I think this isn't waste. So what Purdue did was they pelletized it, they compacted it into pellets. We're actually digesting it and creating methane from it so that we can use that as renewable natural gas. And then once we digest all of the carbon, the labile carbon, out of that digestate, then we are able to dewater it, move the liquid through, and then pull all of the phosphorus and nitrogen out that we
can. In a crystal form.
Yeah. So we are able to pull most, if not all, of the phosphorus out, and let's say about a third of the nitrogen gets pulled out. So, and then that goes back into, we actually have a soil conditioner product as well that the digestate is moved into, which has all of the micronutrients that the farmers like, so, and the organics that are still left. So this is a really key part of the process. Both environmentally and economically. So it's something that we have to do in order to make this a feasible project. But we do need the height of the tank in order to make this happen.
And I understand that your council also said that besides the 52 feet, you need additional space for a crane.
Yes.
Is that to lift the product? And
yeah, so there's I'm wondering if I can actually show it to you on. So if you look at Exhibit H, you can see there's a steel structure that surrounds the Pearl 10K. And then above that steel cage, there is a crane. So yeah, we need to have every bit of that height in order to properly utilize the tank.
All the product or waste, if you will, goes into the top of the tank.
So actually the product comes in through the bottom of the tank and moves up. And so what you have in the headspace is the water as it's been cleaned. So if you go to...
That's at 52 feet.
Yeah. The next exhibit, It'll show how the dewatered liquid is fed in. Then you add liquid magnesium in, which is part of the precipitating reaction. And then as the struvite falls out, the water that has been stripped of phosphorus begins to move up. But it is a process of, it's gravity fed, so you have to have that amount of headspace.
Okay, but that's at 52 feet. What is the additional 22 feet with the crane for?
So the crane is... It's the ability to move some of the larger pieces from the top around because you're going to have a certain amount of maintenance.
Okay, so it's an open tank.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you.
Do you have any other facilities on the shore?
We have one that we've broken ground on in Westover in Somerset County, but we have
nothing's working.
We've broken ground that we've not gone any further. We are scheduled to close financing at the beginning of June. So each one of these plants is somewhere between, depending on the location and the amount of operations that go into it, between $65 and $125 million each.
How many acres is that facility in Westover?
The one in Westover, I believe, is 118 acres, but most of that is protected woods. So the parcel that we're actually on is about 30 acres that we're utilizing. And one of the differences between the way that that facility is laid out and this one is that facility uses four bladders, which are about an acre each in size. This site, we're using tank structures for our few, let's see. If you look at Exhibit E, the four large tank structures on the west side of this picture replace like acre-sized bladders that we're using in the first iteration of the facility. Part of that's size constraint. The other part of that is aesthetics are better. It's easier to do maintenance.
So when you get your chicken manure in, you put it in the tanks?
So when we get the chicken litter in, see if I can walk you through this. So it comes in off the highway, and the trucks come and back up to these four smaller tanks here. It's dropped off through a conveyor belt, closed conveyor belt system. These are mixed tanks, so they're about 100,000 gallons each. So we take the chicken litter from about 27% moisture up to 95, 98% moisture. Then it moves over here to the first four smaller tanks. These are our primary digesters. They're thermophilic, so we heat the chicken litter up to about 135 degrees. It's there for about a week. It begins the cooking process, the fermentation process. After that, it moves out to the bigger tanks. So these are 1.5 million gallons each. These are 3 million gallons each. Out here in these tanks, it's there for 3 to 4 weeks, and that's where most of the gas is produced. And those are a mesophilic tank, which is about 70 degrees. So after that, the digestate gets pulled out, and this is a continual process. We aren't accepting litter 7 days a week, but the process itself is continual. The digestate moves over to this building here that we call the NRF building, the Nutrient Recovery Facility. As you can tell, this was before we changed the design so that only the back part holding the Austera tanks is tall. We go through a dewatering process where we pull the liquid out of the digestate. It goes into the Nutrient Recovery Facility, into the Austera process. The other piece is where we're pulling out the digestate that's been dewatered, that's then our soil conditioner, and that's pretty much the end of the process. At that point, we're cleaning up the gas that's being also pulled off of the tanks, and it's going out to our electricity production. It can also be compressed and sold as compressed renewable natural gas, and we're also sending off our soil conditioner each day as well. So we have three main products that are coming off. It's the natural gas, the struvite, and our soil conditioner.
So you keep using water over and over again?
Yes. So all of the water from the back end gets recycled back to the front
back
end.
Back end again.
Yeah. It's a closed loop process.
Where do you get to your how are you getting your chicken manure?
Brokers. We have contracts with litter brokers locally.
Local brokers?
Local brokers.
In Sussex County?
In Sussex County, although I'm not sure I can go much deeper into those contracts. But yes, local litter brokers.
It wouldn't make financial sense to pull it from somewhere else in the county or a country.
No, no.
When it's right here.
Exactly.
Lots of it.
How many tons are you planning on using?
So we're going through 90,000 tons of chicken litter a year. So from that, we're able to pull, at the low end, we can pull 20 tons of phosphorus out a day. At the higher end, we can get 60 to 80 tons of phosphorus out a day. So sometimes parts of it have just how much phosphorus, or not phosphorus, excuse me, potassium that we're willing to, magnesium.
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 You're willing to put in?
Biologist, a chemist. How much magnesium we're feeding into it, and that's how much the phosphorus is precipitated out. So we've been able to tweak the system a little bit, so we're able to basically crack the phosphorus open a little bit more and be able to pull more out.
Neat. So this is just getting started.
This, as our company, is just getting started, but the processes that go into this mm-hmm. have all been selected from different groups that already do these pieces. We're just putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So the anaerobic digestion of chicken litter, creating natural gas, that's been done. The austere facilities, that's been done. We're just putting the two together.
Mm-hmm. But it's not been advertised. Has it been advertised with the chicken manure getting it? I mean, I don't understand it with a broker. I don't understand. I raise chickens. I have that. I never heard of a broker.
You probably will in the future.
Yes, yeah, on this.
There are chicken manure brokers.
Oh.
In Sussex County.
Oh, I can name them. Yes. But they're not getting all of it.
Right.
So it's changing a lot.
And there's a shortage.
And so they're changing it up now that you're not cleaning out the more now.
And I'm sorry, repeat that.
You're not cleaning your chicken house out now.
Yeah.
That's going to cut down a lot because with so much chicken manure being put on the ground. They're changing that up a lot for us as growers. We're windrowing, what they call it now. You don't mm-hmm. take litter right. Hmm. So that's going to be interesting.
Very.
We got to be tourist friendly. Are there other questions from members of the board?
Who says we're not tourist friendly?
No, I'm not saying we're not. We're working towards that.
Too.
We are. Other questions from members of the board?
No, sir.
No.
Mr. Sharp.
Just want to clarify I apologize, I'm going to butcher your last name.
Kaors.
Apologize for that. You had said that the portion of the building that was going to is it 40 feet?
I believe it's 40 feet in width.
40 feet in width.
Of the 175 foot long building.
Okay.
So as you see the depiction, I mean, it's not the scale, but the depiction on exhibit.
So it'll almost be like a channel kind of going down.
If you look at exhibit D, the second portion of it, the second page of exhibit D, that shows the back portion that will have the nutrient recovery facility.
Okay, I see it.
So there's a difference in heights there only because of that.
And that's on the rear side of the building closest to the borough pit and some other that's away from 113, away wanted, from the residential
and we
areas.
Wanted to minimize the visual impact, and that's why we configured it like that.
All right, thanks. I was trying to get some clarity on that, so
no, I appreciate that
for the record.
I do have a question. Condition B says that all buildings on the site shall have an agricultural appearance. Would you like to elaborate?
We have worked with our architect to try to make this look as much like a barn as possible. I'm sure there can be additional barn-like features added if it doesn't. But to me, it looks quite a bit like a Morton building,
And I'd have to say, if you look at Exhibit D, it looks certainly much more like a
barn building
than the next one. But in order to minimize
it looks like most agricultural structures here.
The Solid Waste nice. Authority has a building mm-hmm. in Milford, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it on the
Felton
left?
Also.
Yeah, it's attractive.
Yeah.
Yep.
I presume this won't impact the use of the airport that's there. I think your note said it was abandoned airport, but
right.
It's an airport.
That's my understanding. It's an abandoned airport, no longer in operation, therefore we're not violating FAA restrictions by going through the 75 feet.
Are you planning any screening at all other than what it looks like there's the screening along 113, so the impact there, because it's on the rear of the property, would likely not be as much, but any screening on the other side of the property?
$1 million runway.
So on the other side?
Adjacent
close
to the bar
pit?
Yeah, to the rear side.
No, we're not looking to put any any screening there.
Okay, thank you.
That's a million.
Further questions?
That's $1 million runway.
Do you have documentation that it's been abandoned?
I do not, but I understand there was a death associated with it. And we wouldn't be able to put it up. The
there FAA was.
Would tell us to stop it immediately.
Yeah, yeah, there would.
I've been involved with that before where you got to put something up and all of a sudden FAA shows up and you got to get a certificate from them that, that so.
Yeah, there was two deaths.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anyone here in favor of this application?
Thank you.
There's I believe, one hand. And is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Don't you want to hear if that gentleman would like to speak?
If you'd like to. He didn't seem to. Okay.
I make a motion that we table this application until our next regular meeting.
Okay. Is there a second?
In part because we got all of this information the night of the hearing.
Okay.
And I'd like more time to look over it.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a second. Mm-hmm. Is there, so all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? And so that motion is carried.
Thank you.
And you don't need,
thank you.
You don't